Hi, everyone, and thanks for coming to this last presentation in the last session. I just wanted to, after I say I have no disclosures, just ask how many of you have heard of the coin. Okay, so a good amount of you. And those who haven't will hear about it today and hopefully have an opportunity to participate in it as it's expanding nationally. And I just want to see, are there any people in the audience that have actually participated in regions 4, 5, or 6 in that coin? Okay. I do want to recognize Sarah Donahue, who's here today from ACT Associates, which is the contract team supporting the regions 4 and 6 coin. And she served as the data coordinator. So I'm just going to go over some of the historical background that led to the coin, its structure and process, some measures and results, and a summary of challenges and successes. So this map of U.S. infant mortality really shows why the coin was initiated in the South here. This was 2011 data, so right before the coin started in 2012. And you can see that 8 of the 12 states that were in the uppermost quartile, the darkest shade of purple there, for infant mortality were, in fact, located in regions 4 and 6. And this really kind of prompted the state health officials in the South to action. And they wrote a letter to the HRSA administrator, Dr. Mary Wakefield, who's actually presenting in the closing session, for help to tackle this issue. And so HRSA and the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, which oversees the Title V block grant to states to improve maternal and child health broadly, convened a summit in the South, actually here in New Orleans, in January of 2012, to convene the states and share ideas for what's driving infant mortality in the South and what the prevention strategies that states are interested in engaging on or getting assistance with. And from that meeting, states developed action plans, and 5 common priority areas emerged that I'll show on the next slide. And so HRSA, under the vision and leadership of Dr. Michael Liu, initiated a support network, a public-private partnership to help states achieve progress on these common priority areas using the tools of quality improvement and collaborative learning. And there are many partners, ACT Associates, the contract team, ASTO, AMCHIP, CDC, CityMatch, CMS, March of Dimes, National Governors Association, and NIH. And so this slide really shows the overall design and structure for COIN. So these were the 5 emergent strategy areas that came from the state plans to increase smoking cessation, enhance infant conception care through Medicaid, reduce early elective deliveries prior to 39 weeks, enhance perinatal regionalization, and promote safe sleep. And so we had strategy teams that were led by 2 to 3 content experts that included a data or methods expert, and then various staff members to help facilitate the ongoing work of the team from partner organizations and the Bureau. And the bulk of the team is really made up of the state representatives who are doing the work on the ground, and that included a variety of leaders at the state level, the MCH directors, state health officials, Medicaid directors, local leaders, and program staff. And these teams were supported through the contract team, ACT Associates, through providing TA and QI training sessions, a shared virtual workspace to conduct the work, and a data dashboard to measure progress. So this was all to provide this infrastructure and platform for states to be able to share ideas and best practices and learn from national experts and from one another to really achieve progress in a relatively short time frame of 18 to 24 months. And this was the actual process that the teams took, first establishing aims for their given strategy area, and then the different levers that they could employ these strategies to achieve those aims, and corresponding measures to track their progress. So these were some of the aims and primary measures for all of the teams. I'm sorry, this is small font. But early elective delivery relied on the birth certificate with quarterly measures, the same with smoking cessation and perinatal regionalization vital records as well. Safe sleep used prams, tracked semi-annually, and interconception care used Medicaid data, tracked semi-annually as well. And this slide just covers the basic process that we went through to support the data submission and sharing process. And so we first queried state MCH directors and epidemiologists regarding their preferences and capacity for reporting data. And we found a real strong demand to create this coordinated process for submitting data across these strategy teams and for supporting a data use agreement to really protect the data to be internal to the QI process, and because a lot of the data is real time, relying on provisional statistics that the state might not routinely report or share with the public, or at least within these certain measures for elective delivery, for example. And then ASTO and AMCHIP submitted a letter to state leadership to really rally the state leadership, the MCH directors, the Medicaid directors, state health officers, around the need to support and to provide timely data to the dashboard. And then from there, that was like the first initial call for data. The state epidemiologists, which we also call data liaisons, submitted their data on a quarterly basis, usually 6 weeks after the end of a quarter through an Excel template, and then that data process was really streamlined for states with the help of SARA, and that enabled very complete reporting. There was only one state that we still have yet to get the final 2014 data from. And after SARA kind of checked the data and made sure it was standard in formatting, we were able to upload it to this dashboard. So I'm just going to show some results, one measure for each team. And so this is the overall measure for non-medically indicated early term deliveries among singleton term deliveries, and this is quarterly birth certificate data. And you can see overall, for both regions combined, there was a 29% total decline, which translates to 85,000 early elective deliveries averted since the beginning of the tracking period in 2011. And five states met that team aim of a 33% reduction, and 11 states had declines of 20% or more. And if you just look at the lines here, you can see that region six, which is the yellow line, kind of had a little bit of a deceleration within the time period of COIN in 2012, and that's really heavily weighed from the data from Texas, and they had implemented a hard stop policy within Medicaid to no longer reimburse for these early elective deliveries, and that's probably why that occurred prior to COIN. But for region six, or four, the red line, they really did see some accelerated progress within the time frame of COIN. In 2011, the average annual change was 6%, and it doubled in the first year of COIN. And this was smoking during pregnancy, and you can just see here that the rates for region four, which is the red line, are quite a bit higher than for Region 6, and Region 4 does contain the tobacco-growing states, particularly North Carolina and Kentucky. But overall, there was a 12% decline in smoking in pregnancy that translated to 17,000 fewer women smoking in pregnancy. And this was mostly within the time frame of COIN as well. And six states met their aim of a 3% reduction. For perinatal regionalization, their measure was the percent of very low birth weight infants born in risk-appropriate facilities. And Scott Burns actually shared this slide in a session on Monday. And within the COIN timeframe, we haven't really seen much, if any, change here. But the real story for this team is the challenge in actually measuring this appropriately, getting those levels of care defined in a standard format according to AAP guidelines. And the team has been really successful in getting states to adopt those new standards and pilot hospital surveys to truly get an accurate picture of what level of specialization these hospitals have. And that hospital assessment is bubbling up nationally, and it's what we're going to be using to track this measure on a national level for a Title V performance measure. For safe sleep, the PRAMS data, we still only have data prior to the start of COIN in 2011. It did look like the data was trending positively for sleep position in a safe sleep environment, but that's something we're continuing to work with CDC on in developing a provisional statistics system for PRAMS, so it can be a resource. We also have SUID data, which is more timely through vital statistics, and are taking a look at that to see if there have been improvements among states. For interconception care, this was really a policy initiative here for this team, and they were tracking these process measures of implementing a policy or procedural change to promote the use of interconception care in Medicaid. And so they did achieve success in 7 of 8 states that were actively engaged in this topic area did implement one of those policy or procedure changes. And unfortunately, we don't have much to share in terms of outcomes because of some challenges with the Medicaid data. There was a lack of using the same methodology and data source, linking it to birth certificates. Some states were able to do and other states weren't. And also in defining a common population, given that states defined a previous adverse outcome differently, and that was the target population for these efforts. There were some states that were able to submit some multi-year data, and we haven't seen an improvement, but all of that data is still prior to when they were really actively engaged in changing some of their Medicaid policies. And for the COIN-wide measures, we're really keeping our eye on the prize, the overall goal of reducing infant mortality and looking within at the timing of death, neonatal, post-neonatal, and the leading causes that these strategies were really affecting, the preterm-related and SUID mortality, along with preterm birth. And so it's really exciting to just see this data from comparing 2011 to 2013, that there was a 7% decline in the non-Hispanic Black infant mortality rate and a 3% decline overall, really no change for the non-Hispanic white population. So this really led to a positive decline in the infant mortality gap here. So the Black-white rate ratio for the two regions combined, which is pretty stable, lots of births here, it declined from 2.22 to 2.05, which represents a 14% decline in that gap. And three states declined 10% or more, and six states were able to reduce that disparity by 25% or more. For preterm birth, 11 of 12 states had declines, and the declines were about the same overall and by race. 5% to 7%. And again, there were some states that were able to reduce that black-white disparity. So some of the challenges and lessons learned was really to adapt these QI principles of traditionally rapid cycle improvement to public health. And that's a challenge because population health, it's not a defined clinical system. There's lots of different interventions going on, including the policy changes, consumer education, in addition to clinical interventions. But it was kind of realizing that some of these strategy areas will take longer to change and see outcomes. And that really highlighted the importance of documenting those process measures for some of these policy levers to really be able to track progress within the time frame of COIN. It was also a little bit of a challenge in building and maintaining these virtual networks and learning collaboratives and keeping folks engaged. APT did a great job in providing monthly updates to the states in a newsletter to really showcase the work of certain states or teams really on the ground to motivate and energize folks. But we also really learned that it's more realistic for states to really engage in a limited number of strategies. Ultimately, you have to prioritize at the state level, and that's something we've learned for the rollout, that the expectation is that states will really engage in 2 to 3 strategies, not necessarily all 5. We also learned, you know, how critical those infrastructure investments are for more real-time data. And so we're continuing to work with federal partners, CMS and CDC, and continuing to provide supplements to states to bolster their infrastructure through the State Systems Development Initiative and really work on data linkages and provisional statistics systems. The general overriding strength is really the heart of COIN, which is the collaborative learning platform for states to learn from one another. And we just got a lot of positive feedback from states, how important that kind of peer-to-peer learning is, and that it fosters that kind of healthy competition and peer comparisons. And I know we heard from the latest summit where 4 and 6, regions 4 and 6 leaders were sharing, and Charlene Collier from Mississippi was really commenting on the perinatal regionalization strategy, applying these AAP standards instead of having hospitals kind of self-designate their level, and just seeing that a neighboring state, Tennessee, was able to apply these uniform guidelines. And she just said, you know, if Tennessee can do it, we can do it. It's a similar southern state. We have similar environments. And learning from states that implemented the hard stop, like Texas and South Carolina, or those that implemented Medicaid waivers, like Louisiana and Georgia. And obviously having that partnership and leadership at all levels, federal, state, local, public, private, having those champions for different causes. David Lakey was a real leader for early elective delivery, and Wanda Barfield at CDC for perinatal regionalization, and our partner organizations, March of Dimes. And it was just really exciting to see some of these data innovations and sharing those provisional statistics from the birth record, and sharing SAS code to foster that real-time data tracking. Some states were improving data quality, doing feedback loops with the birth certificate, comparing it to hospital records. It really bolstered the importance of data and sharing systems innovations. And ultimately, the success of COIN in showing some of these accelerated improvements, that's been a real strength, and the ultimate goal here, and it's helping to attract new partners, and it's why we're expanding nationally. RWJ is going to be supporting 4 and 6 moving forward, and all 5 strategies are expanding nationally with some changes. We're adding a team to really focus on social determinants of health and place-based initiatives that Region 5 started, and that will be rolled out for all states who want to learn and participate, and we're just really excited for that expansion so more states can learn from more states, not just in the region, but across the country. So again, I want to thank Sarah, who's here, and collaborators at the Bureau, and ultimately the states who really did this work, the state health officers, MCH directors, and data liaisons, and the strategy team leadership, which we had many partners from the state to federal and academic partners as well. So thank you.